Welcome. This is we're reading Dirty Books, and I'm Kalina.
And I'm Saylet.
And this is a podcast for people who love paranormal romance novels.
Yes. So, welcome back.
Yeah.
So, in light of us choosing our next book, which was an LGBTQ plus book, we'd like to start off with something a little fun, a little bit sort of like we did with the Chris's a couple of books ago. We decided that we would confess our female celebrity crushes to each other.
Yeah, we got a little icebreaker here, and we're going to talk about that. So, just to kind of date this particular time of this recording, it's been the Winter Olympics in South Korea. So I've been watching a lot of that. And so when Saylet first brought this up, the Lindsey Vonn came to mind because that is one beautiful skier. She's real gorgeous.
She's hot.
So I've been watching her ski what could be her last Olympics. And it's, you know, she's beautiful. So she came to mind first as a potential celebrity crush.
She had a whole bunch came up.
You know, she dated Tiger Woods, so I guess I'm in good company.
I think you're right. That's funny. God, yeah, a whole bunch. There's so many beautiful women out there.
Yeah.
I find myself more, I guess, attracted to the more androgynous types. So, I mean, I've got, like, Ruby Rose on my list. But I think my ultimate female celebrity crush is going to be Michelle Rodriguez. She's fucking hot. She's beautiful. And she's
talented. Yeah. She's a good actress. I like funnier. Like, with the Chris's, we picked Chris Pratt some of the more traditionally attractive Chris's. I like Elizabeth Banks as someone who I find very attractive because she's funny in a lot of roles. She's very diverse. Like, she, you know, plays all those different characters depending on what movie she's in. And I really like her. And her sense of humor, I think, is pretty good. I love Amy Poehler and Tina Fey.
Yeah, like, oh my god, yes, I do too.
They're so great. Yeah, so those are all top. And Laura Prepon from that 70s show and Orange is the New Black. She's really like her too. So those would be, I guess that's my list of female crushes.
Yeah.
Celebrity crushes.
We have a lot to choose from.
We have a pretty diverse list. There's not a lot of overlap. All right.
So
yeah, we read a LGBTQ plus book this time. It was called Sorceress's Pet.
Sorceress's Pet.
So many S's.
It was a little difficult to say.
And it was by, I forgot that name was real hard again.
Noah Zairo Shiro.
She's from Spain. We looked that up. I looked up her author. I guess I don't know that she's from Spain. I know she lives in the south of Spain. So, what is an X in Spanish? Like,
I think.
So,
well, I guess it depends on from where. Chiro? Like, Tenochtitlan is.
Okay. We're not going to solve this.
Aztec something. Yeah, we're not going to solve this. So we apologize for butchering
her
name.
We're very sorry, Noah. We're probably even butchering the first name there, too, because I bet it's not pronounced exactly like
probably
that.
Probably not Noah, yeah. But we read this book, so there was no narrator but ourselves.
Yes, this was we got a Kindle version book. I think it's just an e-published book. It's not.
Yeah, and it felt more like a novella.
It's a short book.
It was a very short book.
I also feel like for our particular podcast genre, it didn't necessarily fit. I definitely put this more in the erotica category than a romance novel.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of book there. There's a lot of sex there.
Yeah.
But there's not a lot of books. So here's the short rundown. There are sorceresses in this world. There are witches. There are shapeshifters. There are druids. There's a whole range of magical beings and people. It's kind of Game of Thrones-ish in terms of, like, there's kings and there doesn't seem to be technology.
Nope.
You know, no cars or anything. So it's obviously not, it's fantasy. It's in a fantasy world, not a reality world. And the princess, Rachel, is trying to save her brother, whose name I just forgot. We're moving right on. He's not in the book, really. So it's fine. Anyway, he is either, they think, kidnapped and being kept by a witch, or
like under her spell.
Or under her spell. They're not quite sure. They tried to get him back and they couldn't. So she's trying to convince the sorceress, Sarah, to let her go to the moon festival with her as her pet. and then she would rescue her brother. Mm-hmm. And the king says yes, that, you know, like, convinces Sarah that he wants her to do this. She's going to try to make Rachel quit on this task because apparently it's very dangerous. And being a pet is very serious in this world. Mm-hmm. It has a whole other connotation than just anything that I've ever come across before. So it's the book's just about her training Rachel to be able to pass in this world. And during that training, they fuck a lot.
A lot.
And there's very little plot. And then at the end, they save... Well, actually, we don't even know. Because the book does not specify. It turns out he doesn't need saving. He's just in love with this witch.
Eric says he's in love with her.
Is going to abdicate his royal responsibility and doesn't want to become king anymore because he's supposed to go marry another princess and, like, you know, meld the kingdoms together or whatever. Or he is going to do that. We don't know. They don't tell us. The book doesn't resolve it.
No.
Sorry. That's how I feel about the storyline, too.
That's pretty much it.
That's it. No, that's all.
And then just sex. I mean, a lot of fucking in between. Yeah.
No plot. Totally tying it together in any way.
I think we definitely delved into an erotica here. So it was between the sorceress Sarah and the princess Rachel. The sorceress, Sarah does tell Rachel and say, look, you are literally agreeing to become my sex slave.
Yeah, so a pet is, I actually highlighted it in this book because I was like, I think I might need this information by the time we were, because it's like, it's a very specific
role.
It's not
it has something to do with the,
like, there's like rules and laws and things, but we don't we don't get to know any of them, so, you know, don't ask us too much. No.
Though, I mean, like, while you're looking that up, I wasn't too annoyed I wasn't too annoyed with how, if we compare this to I can't even remember what the other book was where there was just no plot, we didn't get anywhere. And it just kept open.
The one where she goes to Ireland or Scotland?
Yes, Dark Fever or something.
Ireland. Whatever.
I don't know. This one kept me engaged still. Maybe it's because there was a lot of fucking sex in this one.
Well, that and I think because it was short, it was, I mean, it's not hard. Okay, I guess that must be where it was. I highlighted that. Oh, good thing. I did not highlight the thing I thought I did. You're welcome for that tangent, because that was worth it. Turns out, not worth it. Basically.
Good thing I know how to edit now.
It's fine. You can leave this in. We're shown to be an idiot.
Okay.
but a pet is 100% submissive.
Yes,
they are... submissive to their master or mistress. They do everything and anything. It seems to be almost solely sexual. You know, it's not like... I guess at one point she has her clean the house. But I think she does that as like a stalling tactic or something. Sarah has Rachel clean the house. But at the end of the day, it really is... there's not anything else to it other than sex. Like, you will do what I say when I say it. And I will punish you if you don't. And so, yes... I guess you were comparing it to the other book. I think it had... I think she didn't know where to go with her plot. Like, I think she tried... She was building too much.
I think
it was too much world building and, like, without actually explaining the world to us. Get to it faster. Whereas this, we know nothing about this world. I don't understand. We didn't find out until the last two chapters that Sarah, as a sorceress, comes from a whole family of sorceresses.
Yeah.
They're all sorceresses. It must be like some kind of familial thing.
Mm-hmm.
But also when they go to the Moon Festival, like I said, sometimes the people are called witches or wizards or sorcerers or druid. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's... a lot of mixing of things. Like, like when you go to throw druid in, you're now mixing, like, ancient earth religion into a mystical, like, fantasy world. So it's confusing. But, again, it's not about that. It's all about them have sex over and over again.
It's fiction. Yet again, we are not living in the real world.
That's true.
So sad. Well, actually, I don't know that I would really want to live in this
I don't particularly want to live in this world. We have no point of view for anyone outside of basically, like, the sorceress's world. So I guess, who knows? Maybe it could be okay. Doesn't seem like it. Although, here's what. There are some positives. There is no taboos on, like, in this world.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, Sarah and Rachel are women in a sexual relationship. Mm-hmm. And at one point, Rachel is reliving memories of hers where she's had this crush on this Lord Leyland or something. I don't remember. And she's witnessing him have intercourse with a stable boy. Mm-hmm. And there's no societal taboo on that. She doesn't be like, she's not confused. She then has sex with him later and like this and that. And there doesn't seem to be any like taboo structure on anything, which is, that's good, you know.
There was no guilt. Everybody owned, like, it wasn't even owning up. They were just who they were.
Yeah.
And they didn't have to explain why she was watching that, or why she then slept with him later or anything like that. There's no need for explanation, and that was good. It just flowed along, and it was
just like, say, sometimes you fuck stable boys, and sometimes you sleep with princesses.
Right, exactly.
And it's all cool. Huh. You know?
So that was really cool. That was flawless in this book. I really liked that a lot.
Mm-hmm. But aside from that, yeah, still not really a place I want to live. I think I have to put out there like a caveat. I was reading this book experiencing a very heavy period, super strong cramps, and I'm still having cramps, and it's horrible. Then when you're reading a real sexy book to the point where you get like squishy, like squeamy, and you're cramping at the same time, you're like, I'm not enjoying any of this. This is now painful but arousing, but not in a good way. I'm just kind of cranky, and my fucking Advil's not working. So that's how I felt for this book, which maybe is not the best place or, like, point of, like, state of mind to be in.
Yeah. I guess we had a different, well, I wasn't on my period when I was reading this, but I found a lot of it arousing. Some of it was a little bit too much to where, like, it was just very aggressive. Just because it was erotica. I don't think that it wasn't, like...
No.
I can't say that it was rapey just because there was, that agreement in the beginning, even though that was like that in Feral Sins. But the relationship between Sarah and Rachel, I would have to say, are completely different than Trey and his chick.
I don't remember her name.
I don't remember her name either.
Yes. So, on the surface, like, when we first started, I was, like, I got concerned. I was like, because while Rachel was agreeing to go and be trained as a sex slave in order to rescue her brother, that's different than wanting to become a sex slave for the purposes of this is what I want for my life, right? It's she was trying to save her brother and doing whatever it takes to save her brother. And then Sarah was going to do whatever she could to get Rachel to quit. So it felt at the beginning like I was like, I'm not gonna like this. This is gonna be too much like Feral Sins, because Feral Sins was two very strong personalities vying for dominance, only the whole time the man was horrible.
Yeah.
And awful. However, in this book, at the very, like, from the very beginning, Sarah was honest and open with Rachel and with herself in her head, like, in some of her inner monologues, that while the mistress-pet relationship is about dominance and is about creating a submissive, it's not about pain or, like, hurt. Like, they spank each other, sure, but it's not for the purpose of pain. She would never hurt Rachel to hurt Rachel. And the times that she would embarrass Rachel, like, it was more to just help her break down those walls so that she could become a real submissive and play that part in at the Moon Festival.
And it was also to try to break her down so that she would want to leave. She had a safe word. And Sarah really didn't even want her to become the pet. She didn't want to treat Rachel that way. But she's the daughter of the king. And so they have this agreement and they are trying to do this. She's going at her own will to do this. But even Sarah is like, are you sure you don't want to say your safe word now, princess? You can do it at any time. So she is also trying to break her from that because she also wants her to leave.
Yeah. Because she doesn't think she can protect her at the Moon Festival, that there's a good chance she would get hurt there. Because there's all these rules about if you bring a pet to the Moon Festival, then other people can play with your pet. And I don't... It was so confusing.
It's like a big...
Well, I got a little... I was a little bit like, are we saying that all witches are about is sex? Because at no point... Like, they almost did zero magic in this book.
They did, yeah.
Like, she had a love potion that she had, like, just on her shelves. But she never... They almost never used magic or did anything. Like, I just felt... And, like, whenever they did their witch rituals, it was just sex. Like, they had a fertility ritual where they called on Pan. And he showed up. And it was just about sex. And I was like, this is a little bit, like... I felt bad for witches in this book. I felt bad for the stereotype of witches in this book. I think that's the only group that got a, like, bad rap in this book, because I feel like, at least historically, witches, you know, we freaking burn them at the stake for being smart, intelligent women, and here this book has turned them into just basically, like, sex fiends.
Yes.
they take other humans and turn them into sex slaves.
Sex slaves.
And some of them are good and, like, treat them really well. And then there's a couple in the book who don't treat their slaves very well. And they tend to die. And that's horrible.
Yeah.
I can't imagine that.
The purpose of getting their submissives, their sex slaves, their pets trained is to go to this moon festival, which is pretty much a fishbowl party. It's just throw your keys into a fishbowl and we get to share each other's pets.
A key party.
It's a key
party. I did not know what you meant when you said fishbowl.
I guess I shouldn't have said fishbowl.
Key party.
Key party. Don't they throw it in fishbowls?
Yeah, or any bowls. But yeah, but it's more about the keys. I just was like, I don't know.
What is that fishbowl?
Someone's going to explain fishbowl party to me.
Yeah, that is also a foreign interpretation going on in my brain.
Hey, I got there. We know what you're talking about.
Because I officially said keys.
And I was like, yes, key party.
Key party.
But yeah.
But I mean, that's pretty much what it is. It's like bringing him here for the sole purpose of sharing. But she was very protective. Yeah, an offering to
the goddess.
Yeah. I think the only other time that Sarah really did magic was when she erased memories.
Right, and we didn't even actually, like, see any of that. Like, a lot of the actual action in this book takes place in memory. Like, off scene.
Yeah.
Out of scene. The book will just be, like, sex scene, and then it'll be, like, a day passed.
Uh-huh.
And last day, like, during the day, this is what happened to me. But not, like, describing it, just, like, in passing. Just, yeah. Like, and that's when I erased all the memories of those guards 5 days ago. And you're like, whoa, you didn't tell us that happened 5 days a fucking ago.
Right.
And I think actually part of that is why this book didn't come on, like, wasn't as hard to read as Feral Sins, because a lot of the humiliation that they put Rachel through in order to break her did not happen.
It was a Passover.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We didn't actually have to sit there and read her being humiliated by a group of women. We got Sarah's memory of the day later, like, recalling the day and saying, oh, I would have been really embarrassed by all of this, but now I understand. I think at the core of this book, or at least of this story, is that Rachel needs to become vulnerable. Part of it is just to become a pet and everything, but also her life as a princess wasn't fulfilling the way she thought it should be or wanted it to be. And once she became truly and utterly vulnerable with Sarah and realized that she loved Sarah and trusted her and that nothing was going to happen to her no matter what, then she kind of started reevaluating her life and seeing the emptiness of it. And, like, she got to a higher place where she had a better relationship with Sarah.
Yep.
And that's not a bad takeaway for just real world stuff. Like, mm-hmm. Vulnerability is super hard.
Yeah, it's definitely hard. I mean, you're putting your trust, your body, and your everything into another person, especially another person that you're sharing physically with, and one that has magical powers, you know,
to
be
able,
in this world, to do whatever they want with you, even in our world, the real world.
And in the real world, becoming truly vulnerable with somebody is hard, mm-hmm. and that's asking a lot. But there's a benefit to getting to a place like that.
Yeah.
You know, you have a better, stronger relationship, and you're more honest, and I think you know yourself better.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of where Rachel and Sarah were getting. Because eventually, even Sarah, although she was the dominant the whole time, had to admit to herself why she was doing some of the things she was doing, mm-hmm. and why she, like, the truth behind not wanting to take Rachel to the moon festival was she was in love with Rachel.
Mm-hmm.
She loved Rachel, and she didn't want to put her at risk.
All of her inner monologues were pretty much that. I kind of wish she would say the safe word, hurry up and say the safe word, princess. I want you to go back home or be safe. And so she didn't want her in that regard. Mm-hmm. Like, she loved her and loved doing the sex with her. But
doing the sex.
But she didn't want to hurt her. And she did love her. So, I mean, mm-hmm. there was a little bit of love there. There was no romance. There definitely no romance.
No.
But there was love.
There was sex and the eventual love.
Yeah. So, can we talk real quick about the pan scene and how you feel about that? Because while I was reading this, I was like,
alright. I was like, did we accidentally not read an LGBTQ plus book?
It turned, like, it was...
Okay.
It was...
So during the festival where they go to celebrate fertility and call on Pan, mm-hmm. the god, the half-human, half-goat, mm-hmm. exactly who you're thinking of from Greek mythology or Roman mythology, one of the mythologies, mm-hmm. I'm not sure. Sarah brought Rachel to be the sacrifice that night, specifically because she thought she would quit. And also to see if she could do any of the, like, follow the rituals of a witch ceremony. Rachel went through all of it, right up to the point where they, you know, put her up on the altar and anointed her in oils because Pan was going to come and take his sacrifice in the form of fucking her. Rachel was like, no. And then Sarah was like, okay, all you have to do is say your safe word and this ends. This ends now and you can go home. And Rachel looked at her and finally was like, no, I'm not going to say it. And like, I'll take this if that's what you want. Uh-huh. And then, of course, Sarah was like, no. So, no, Pan stopped it because he's like, I'm not. Which I like because as a god, traditionally those gods just fucked anybody regardless of whether you want it or not.
Yeah.
But he was like, I don't want an unwilling sacrifice. I will fuck the witches.
Yeah.
And
who are all willing.
But you have to take my place, sorceress. Yes. So without explaining what that meant, she was like, okay, I'll do it. So she takes his place in the ritual.
At the altar,
and he goes off with the witches to have, you know, a quadruple sum or whatever.
Like there's like a billion in there on each part of his body. But yeah.
As many as he could possibly want. And then all of a sudden, Sarah has a penis.
Yes! Sarah's got a penis!
And so she takes his place physically, grows a cock, and fucks Rachel with her cock.
Yes. The whole time I was, so when I was reading that, I was thinking of you and not in the sense of you having a penis.
Good.
But because I was like, oh my god, I wonder how Kalina feels about this. Because as I was reading this, and I wish I was telling Dan as I was reading, I was like, Dan, this is in the book. Oh my god, Dan, this is in the book. Because there are times when I'm very playful with Dan, when I'm like, oh my god, I wish I had a penis right now. So I go, fuck you. And things like, he's like, no, that ain't never going to happen. And I was like, yeah, it's not going to happen. But if only I had a penis, how would I do it? Would I do it like this? Would I do it like that? How would I feel? I lived in this book at that moment. I was like, yes. But then I was thinking of you and thinking.
Okay. So I was like, all right, I guess I'll get on board with that for this scene. Because I guess, you know, I figured he was being, Pan was being pretty, like, sneaky about his wording. Yeah. Like, you gotta take my place and all the things that that means. He's and I was like, there's gonna be a trick here. She doesn't get to just, have sex with her
pet.
Right. Something's gonna happen. And so it wasn't a big surprise. I was like, yeah, I figured he'd pull something like this.
Didn't see that coming.
I mean, I didn't know exactly, but it was going to be, there was something tricky. Later in the book, when they are having sex in the bed and her penis comes back, it is well after the ritual. The ritual's over, that particular night is over, and now they're back to, you know, being ladies a couple days later, and they're having sex, and Sarah grows a penis again. I'm like, oh.
Yep, didn't go away. She got to keep the magic.
Well, it just comes and goes as she wants. She has control over whether or not she has a penis. And I kind of okay, I don't know. I don't know how to feel about it. And I think at the end of the day, I don't feel comfortable having a
I don't think that would be my choice to keep, but I still, it's like one of those like Freaky Friday moments, you know, where you could swap places with somebody. I'd swap places with Dan and I'd fuck me. I'd do it. I would do it.
Okay.
I know that sounds totally freaky.
No, hey.
But
no judgments. That's the whole point here. I'm not judging. I'm just like, sure.
What I don't understand. Here's what I don't get. So while Pan graced her with a penis, did he also grace her with semen? Because she got to...
Well, something came out.
She filled her.
Yep. That's what the book said.
Yep.
Blushed all over the place.
She did.
Well, here's the other thing about that, though. This book seems to believe that women come with great gushing orgasms all the goddamn time.
There's a lot of squirting going on.
Like, there's to the point where at one point, like, at the Moon Festival, some not-human creatures are, like, standing by with goblets to catch the stream of...
These witches must.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Just come that explodes out of this lady's vagina. Wow. I'm taking a turn.
No.
Okay.
We're not taking, this is what we're talking about. I mean, like, that's what's in this book.
That, like, it happened every time they were aroused at all, they were like, not just. Sorry. or as at all, it just seemed like aggressively moist. Yes. And like sometimes it'd be called cream and honey and it flowed and it was all over their legs and their thighs and their like, and I was just, it was like, it's not really how it happens.
No. I don't know. Maybe if you're a mythical witch.
I guess that's true. This is an alternative reality. Maybe in this reality, women really just come with great gushes of fluid out of their vag.
Because here's the difference between, like, this book and all of the other books that we've read.
Yes.
They are either humans with a supernatural being, or they are, like, half-breeds. But they're also human. And while the princess and stuff were human here, this one was total fantasy.
Yeah. Because all of our other books have taken place in
some type of real world.
Yeah. Like, I mean, they may be a world where creatures exist, but I mean, all of them are.
Well, yeah.
That's kind of the point of the supernatural book. But no, like, none of them have been in an alternate. No. Some of the short books were in an alternate, like the fairy world or something.
But they were still...
No, that one...
That's right. Her mom was human.
But they had gone to... She was living in another dimension. But no, aside from that short book, all the rest of the books are basically on Earth in a current understandable place. Like, cities that we know, Seattle, New York.
Budapest.
You know, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. They just happen to also involve creatures or supernatural beings. Yeah. And this one is just in a whole other...
It's completely...
World. It's fantasy. It could be a fantasy where women have gushy orgasms.
Yeah. I mean, it follows that theme, though. I mean, in this whole book.
I was very concerned about their vaginas for the whole of the book. And maybe it's not something to be worried about. But there were definite days where they were, like, just having sex, like, all day, multiple times a day, all over and over again. And I'm like,
concerned too.
Your clitoris is going to be sore.
Your everything down there is going to be really sore.
Sorry. There's just times where I was like, I don't think it wants to be stimulated anymore.
No, we've had this conversation in the past about, like, multiple orgasms. And this is one of those instances where, like, two is enough. You may think you can give me 20.
Well, I don't want
but
that.
But I don't want that many.
That
but,
gets painful.
Yeah. But I mean, the scenes that are in this book range from, well, there wasn't any romance, but there was a lot of, there was bestiality in this book too.
Well.
Right?
Here's where we, okay, the only reason this one was okay. So at one point, Sarah brings over three friends. One of them is a serpent shapeshifter, so she can turn into a snake.
Yes.
And she turns her legs into a snake tail and uses the rattle tail to masturbate Rachel. That was quite far into my comfort zone. Out of my comfort zone. But, like, I wasn't okay with it. But I was better with it because she was a human who was using... It wasn't an actual snake. It's not like they brought in an animal that has zero control into a sexual situation. She just turned her leg into... Like, it would be the same as using her fingers.
Right,
it just happened to be that she can make her leg into a snake tail.
A rattled snake tail.
Yeah. So that's where I was like, okay, that's not worse. So what it immediately brought back, and this is going to go real deep into my history, but it immediately brought back to me flashbacks from, I think it was in middle school, which is way too fucking young to read Kiss the Girls.
Oh, I've never read that book, but I've heard
you
of it.
You saw the movie?
No, never.
Okay. The movie's very tame in comparison to the book. And in the book, it's about this man who kidnaps and captures women and keeps them locked up underground and just, like, rapes them over and over again in horrible, horrible ways.
Oh, God.
And one of the scenes, he uses milk and he uses a funnel and he puts milk in... I really shouldn't describe this scene, it's too much, into a woman's ass, and then uses a snake to enlarge her asshole. Like, lets the snake follows the milk. Oh my God. And I swear, I was fucking 12 or 13 when I read this book, and I went, my world has ended. I was like, who would even think of a thing like that? So I've had this kind of back of my mind, like, fear of snakes and orifices.
Well, sure.
For a very long fucking time.
Yeah.
And then this book, you said to me before I'd even started reading it, you were like, rattlesnakes. And I was like, no! Because I was afraid it was going to be a fucking repeat of the fucking book. And I was like, no, I cannot read another book where someone gets fucked by a snake. I won't be able to handle it.
No, I don't.
And we got to the scene, and I read the scene, and I went, okay, it's not a real snake. The snake did not go inside of her.
Right. It was, yeah, she just parts of her.
And it was a person. It could, she could be any kind of shifter. Like, you know, yeah. She could have shifted into a dildo.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't have to be, but it happened to be a rattlesnake tail.
Oh.
So that's why, that's the only way I got past that scene, is being it's a person doing it, something to another person. It is not, these animals didn't get involved in things that they didn't ask for.
I don't think that I could read that book.
Don't read it. I'm suggesting no one read it.
I do.
And when I heard, yeah. I read it again, too young, and I was fucking scarred. And then I heard they were making it into a movie, and my head just fucking exploded.
Because oh
I was
like, God.
They can't show that in a movie. They don't. That scene is like nowhere.
Did they?
No. It's not. That gets scrubbed real out of the movie.
When did that movie come out, though? Was it a long time ago?
Yeah.
Because I bet you they'd do it now.
I don't know. That's pretty horrific. I don't know. It was very upsetting to read. That's the end of that
story.
That's
the end of that.
And if anyone else has been traumatized by Kiss the Girls, I'd like to hear about that.
Yeah.
You tell me your trauma stories from when you're like 13 and reading the book. You had no fucking business reading. Someone should have stopped you.
Wow.
Anyway, we're going to move on now. So we talked about, yeah, vulnerability. We talked about how, you know, that kind of like was a main theme for this book. Kind of the difference for us in what we normally like to read, you know, romance versus erotica. I think it's something I wanted to touch on. Other than just, I guess we already did, but just kind of saying, like, I normally look for stories. Like, I really want a more fleshed out...
With a storyline and a...
fleshed out story. I'd like a world plot. I can fall into and kind of get absorbed by. And then, sure, I want sex scenes. Yeah. I think I have made that clear in this podcast. But I didn't like that one book because I was like, this book is boring and there was no sex scenes. So it's hypocritical to be like, well, this book was all sex scenes and I didn't like it.
Well, that's just like Feral Sins. They fucked throughout that whole fucking
book. They did, and it was horrible.
We didn't like it.
We fucking hated it.
Yeah.
It also didn't have too much of a plot.
No.
I mean, there was a minor plot about,
like... There was a lot,
like,
of cliffhankers in that shit one,
fuck yeah.
Too.
Anyway.
Yeah.
That shit happens to us, though, because, like, every book we read is the first book of a series, and
yeah.
We only read the first
and we... We found this one on a whim.
That's true.
And we just decided that we wanted to get into an LGBTQ+ book and read something on it so we can open up our literature, what we're trying to read.
I mean, part of what we want to do with this podcast is break down some of those taboos and walls. And, and part of that, I think, should be in the LGBTQ+ genre, even though both of us are hetero women. That doesn't mean that their art isn't, you know, we can't still have value. Like, you know, I said, I think that there's a lot in this book about becoming vulnerable to another person and the power that there is in that. So I'm not going to say, like, I hate this book. I didn't hate this book. I just was like, oh, I would like to know more about this world. And I think I would have enjoyed the book more if there was more of that piece interspersed with sex scenes than
Like, if it was more of a novel versus a novella, then I think that would have been...
Yeah.
Because then there would have been more plot. Or a plot.
A plot. So, like, a couple times when we were talking about this book, I called it word porn. Because it's basically porn.
It is.
As opposed to a movie with sex... Like, a sexy movie. Like, maybe an R-rated or NC-17 movie, where you're watching a movie with a nice full storyline, and there happens to be hot, steamy sex in it, versus I'm just watching a porn, which is just sex, and maybe somebody ordered a pizza. We're not sure. Somehow a pizza man got there. So part of that, like, talking about...
That's awesome.
Brings up what we wanted to talk about for our fun fuck fact.
Yeah!
Fun fact. Is women and porn. Because it's another one of those taboos.
Yep.
That women don't watch porn.
Right.
And so I had this article. It was from a blog. Sustain Natural is actually, it's a company that sells, like, tampons and condoms and, well, maybe not tampons, I could be wrong in that, but, like, condoms and lubricants that are all natural and made, you know, specifically with women's bodies in mind, so they're not toxic. But they have a blog, and Emma Glassman Hughes wrote an article, The Truth About Women Who Watch Porn, and in it she quotes a Marie Claire article from 2015 that had a study on women's porn habits, and the truth is that of 3,000 self-reported female porn watchers, 31% who answered their survey say they watch porn weekly, and 10% say they watch it daily. So it turns out, you know, women do watch porn.
Absolutely.
And more so than people tend to think. The stereotypes, like when you talk about porn watchers, the images that come to your mind are the, you know, like teenage boys or the older, you know, men and they're like on their computers. It's not, you don't get a full range of really all the people. And so, you know, just kind of breaking that down and talking about it in more honest ways about, look, don't discount women, and women don't have to feel guilty or weird or like secretive about their porn habit. But as women, there's also the added level of being concerned about women in the industry.
Yep. That article addresses this, and they talk about women who, I mean, you choose to be in this industry and it works for them and they're not uncomfortable with their partners and the making of the films and things like that. It's just, it works for them.
But there are bad situations.
Sure.
And if anybody is a big, like, I guess if you're listening to this, you like podcasts, you like podcast-like things. Maybe you're already an Audible subscriber. And have you done, it's John Ronson's mini podcast on Audible called The Butterfly Effect, where he basically looks into the porn industry and what Pornhub did to the porn industry, which is, I think, part of, to be honest, I don't watch porn. I know nothing against it. I have watched it with partners in the past, but it's never something that I seek out. It doesn't do much for me, so I've never made it a big part of my life. But part of my concern has always been the people in it.
Sure.
You know, I want to make sure that they're okay and that they're treated well and they have rights and that they're paid well. And I think that's part of what I learned from that podcast by John Ronson, The Butterfly Effect, is that websites like Pornhub, where everything's virtually free, they are stealing it from companies that are making it. And so there's becoming less profit. It's because it's like marginalizing the industry in a way. And so the person, the guy who made Pornhub, is rich and is making bank on his website while most of the content on there he is not paying for.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, because people can just put it up.
Oh.
And so, again, and you know, I'm a big believer in if you like something, support it. If there's an artist behind it in any way, like if you like a movie, pay to see it.
Right.
You know, I love books. I pay for my Audible account and I, you know, I pay for Kindle books and I pay for physical books. Like, if you know, if you like music, buy it or subscribe to a system that allows you to pay for the artist. Because these things don't grow on trees. They aren't free. They take a lot of work, and that includes porn. And so what I learned from the podcast about porn that I don't watch is if I was to watch it, I would make sure I paid for it. Because that's the only way that those people down the chain, all the way down to the actors, get paid and get treated well and have a say in their lives and like what they're doing.
Yeah. Yeah, so I guess I'm just gonna segue out of this, but before I do that, I do want to read a part of that article that pretty much puts it all together, but a piece of it does say, we can also appreciate that watching porn does not make us bad people. It does not make us dirty. It does not make us perverted. It makes us, according to this study, really freaking normal. So go be normal. Because you talked about you don't watch porn.
I don't.
I do. Dan and I watch porn. I watch it by myself sometimes. I watch it with sometimes. Sometimes I catch him watching it. I'm sure he's caught me watching it, but he doesn't like, you know, say, hey, what are you doing? I always do it to him because I think it's fun. But, you know, it's nothing wrong with that. And if that what excites you and it does it for you and stuff like that, then go for it.
I mean, that's what I've always thought of these books as. I mean, first, like, I think we said it in the first episode, but, like, when I gave you my Audible account the first time, I was like, don't judge me for my audio porn.
And I was like, done.
Because I was like, these books have always been that for me. It's, you know, I don't know, maybe it's the way my mind works or whatever. It's more arousing to read the or hear the sentences than to actually, like, see people. But that's just me. And then we read an actual erotica book today. And I was like, my romance novels are not audio porn. This book is audio porn.
Oh, it's totally. Yeah, so if you want audio porn, Read this.
Find erotica books.
Find erotica book. But even this one wasn't. I mean, it was bad. I liked it. I think I enjoyed it. But I agree with you about the no plot thing. I wish there was more story to it. And maybe a little bit more romance.
Just a little.
Yeah.
Just give me something else, like, in between to hang those scenes on. Because right now the scenes are so... they float out there outside of context. Just like, and then... Now this version of a sex scene. And now we're going to do this kind of a sex scene. And now, you know, let's introduce toys.
Yeah. Speaking of
toys.
This will be a good segue into our Kiss and Tell, which this is the segment where we talk about personal stories and things that relate to the book that we just read. So we could do it on whatever type of topics we decide. So I guess it just kind of flows naturally to us. But so toys.
Sex toys.
So I know you guys remember from a couple of podcasts ago, I did say that I used to sell sex toys. That was about 15 minutes of my life, but it was fun. On another one, we talked about anal sex. And there's a scene in this book where she wears a foxtail. So it's like an anal plug that has a foxtail. By now, you guys have already seen our faces with ears.
We're just every Snapchat filter that has ears of any sort, I have taken a picture of myself with.
Yes, yes.
In our video, we're wearing our very own cat ears.
We just want to be walking furries.
Without actually being furries.
Yeah. So mine, I guess, is going to be more of a confession.
Sure.
A little bit, because I did talk about how I don't think I would ever try anal sex again because it hurt and it was just uncomfortable and stuff. But... before I even read this book, I did see on a porn, somebody was wearing a foxtail, and I was like, fuck, now I gotta get a fucking tail to match my fucking ears. And I showed it to Dan, and he's like, yes. And so I bought one today. And it's rainbow, and I can't wait to get it, so it's gonna be awesome. Our 14th wedding anniversary is coming up next week, so... time is irrelevant to you people, but it is. Dan and I will be married for 14 years.
Wow.
And I don't think I'll get that thing by then, but I think it'll be
maybe
fun to play with. So that's my confession. I'm going to try it.
All right. Well, there you go. That's how it was done in this book. It was all introduced gradually with very, I don't know.
Yeah, and there were dildos in this book, but then the pan gave Sarah a penis, so then she didn't need it anymore.
Yeah, that's true. She seemed to have a lot of toys, and then once she had a penis, she didn't need them anymore. I guess. I still am not 100% sure now. I'm a confused person. Sorry. So, I still am skeptical about butt sex.
Sure.
It's not my thing. Mm-hmm. So, I was thinking, though, for this book, a good kiss and tell would be, have we ever had a same-sex experience?
Okay.
And haven't had much of one. I remember back to when I was 17, I went to Finland for a year as an exchange student. Mm-hmm. And in Finland, you can drink at, like, I don't know, 4. It seems like that. Sorry, Finland. That was mean. I shouldn't say that. I think it's, like, 16 or something. It might officially be 18, but 16, most of their high school kids drink.
Sure.
You know, it was easily, you could easily get alcohol. And especially if you're not a Finnish person, like, I was American, then nobody cared. Like, they literally didn't care. The bars were like, whatever, kill yourself with alcohol. We don't care. So we go out drinking and go out clubbing a lot. And I don't know what it was about maybe Finland or me and my when I was 17, but for some reason, the only men who were ever attracted to me while I was there were like fucking 60-year-old gross ass dudes who would just hound me at the bar.
Oh, God.
And so if one of my guy friends wasn't around to like pretend to be my boyfriend or to like get them away from me, then one of my girlfriends and I would like make out because we'd be like, no, we don't like you. We're lesbians. Yeah. It's fine. Doesn't ever seem to work out in our But that's my same-sex experience, just making out with ladies in bars when I was 17 to try to make the gross men go away.
Nice.
At the end of the day, it didn't work.
It was not a deterrent.
They were like, let me sit here and watch you two make out. And I was like, oh, I've lost this battle.
Oh.
I had to dodge. I mean, there were numerous nights where I would, like, sneak out the back of the bar and run away because me and my friends were concerned that I was going to get abducted by creepy old men. Yeah.
That is crazy. So,
it might explain my current reticence to attend bars and clubs. Because I don't think I have good experiences with them. Also, creepy Finnish men tend to be older and creepier than our American versions.
Sure. I can only imagine. Wow.
So.
Well, that's cool.
So that's my same-sex experience, is occasional makeup sessions at bars while drunk.
That works. I do not have any.
Oh.
I do not have any.
There you go.
I have had, however.
How has this never come up in any of our Never Have I Ever games?
I wonder if it has, but we've all been too...
Too drunk to remember. Right. Okay, that's more likely. Right. Sorry.
Yeah, and maybe I wasn't too drunk, but I also have bad memory. So I probably don't remember this coming up.
Okay.
It may have happened. I don't know. I have had same-sex dreams, like dreams about me having sex with the woman.
Mm-hmm.
I've had one with you.
Oh.
And I've had one with Emily.
Oh, no.
My two best friends in the world.
Oh.
I've had scissor sex with. Yeah. We were...
I don't even think this book had scissor sex.
No, I was waiting for it to come. There was no scissor sex in there.
Everything else.
Dan, up until now, was the only person who knew that.
Now about the whole world knows.
5 million people know. So, that's that. And I love you guys just the same. I see you guys in the same light. I was not traumatized by it.
Well,
I do have to admit, though, the one I had with Emily was years ago, where it was just kind of like, it was so weird to me.
Uh-huh.
And it wasn't
You're like,
that.
What happened in my head?
Right. Like, I just didn't. And I was only uncomfortable with because I just didn't know what was going on in my mind. But then I had the most recent dream with you. And I dream every single night. I'm a very vivid, avid dreamer. This one was only a couple of months ago after we started doing these podcasts.
Well, that explains it.
So, and I wasn't uncomfortable with that one because it had, like, there was a reason.
Yeah.
Like,
we've been talking about sex all the time.
Right, exactly.
For months now.
So with you, it made sense, but with Emily, it didn't. But also, you know.
It's still just, I mean, dreams are
So,
I don't dream, so it's hard for me to say.
Right, you don't sleep.
Well, no, I don't sleep.
So you don't dream, because you don't
sleep. It's a chicken egg thing. We'll see.
I mean, I've kissed women on the lips, but it's mainly like one of those, oh, I'll see you later kisses.
Yeah,
you know,
I've never
made out with one. But like I said, Michelle Rodriguez is hot.
Mm-hmm.
And she might be my female celebrity hall pass.
Oh.
Dan and I have those. We have celebrity hall passes.
Mm.
I have like a whole list of dudes.
You're like, if this happens, I'm just fucking leaving you.
I can't leave him. I like him too much.
I know.
But anyway, so.
Okay.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah.
Good one.
So, overall, should we dirty pleasure rate this book?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it. We didn't forget that.
We didn't. Yes.
I think I'm going to give it, like, 4 or 5.
Okay.
I have to take off a lot of points for it not being an actual book.
Get it? I get it.
It was, like,
I get it.
Maybe 2 hours to read, which is, like...
Yeah, it's true.
An article. It's, like, a long Atlantic article takes me longer to read than this book.
It was like an essay.
Yeah,
to get into the word porn industry.
I think Noah is a good author. I mean, this short as it was well written.
Yes.
It, like, kept our attention. Just, I would have liked a broader world view and understanding of where they were and what that world meant.
Okay.
So.
I would have to agree with you on that as far as the lack of plot.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give it a scissoring 6, even though there was no scissoring.
There was no scissoring.
I was like, how do you explain that? How does that work? I was waiting for it.
Well, that's because she got a penis halfway through the book, and it changed the rest of the sex.
Don't need
it was
to scissor
all
anymore.
Penetrative penis vagina sex afterwards.
Yep.
Oh, penis ass sex.
So, yes. If you want erotica sex.
Yeah. This book needs to be classified as erotica.
Yeah. And you know what? For all we know, it is.
True. We were very slapdash about figuring out a book last week.
It was kind of, that one was hard for us.
2 weeks ago.
Really hard time figuring. We had a hard time last week.
We're working on this.
Our recording was bad last, like, the actual sound.
Turns out.
No, don't say it.
Turns out microphones can be challenging.
Turns out if you use it the right way, it fucking works.
Hey, it took us one recording to figure out.
True.
It could easily have gone off.
True. Yes.
For multiple recordings. My God.
Yeah, so if you guys remember the last recording, there was the buzzing for like the first half hour and the last like 15 minutes. That was my hard drive from my laptop because my microphone was literally right next to it. And I couldn't, my husband had to figure that out for us and he got it within 2 seconds of listening to it. I said, I fucking hate you.
You know. We are learning, and that means technology, too, because I've never tried to record anything for any length of time before, and so the fact that we're doing it at all, I think, is a miracle.
I know. It's awesome.
All right.
Still having fun.
Well, that wraps up Sorceress's Pet by Noah...
Chiro.
Sorry. We're real sorry on that one.
Yeah. Well, we're going to be sorry about this next one, too. Not Our next book is going to be Shadow Game, written by Christine Feehan, narrated by...
Stischulte. Yep. Christine Feehan is the author.
Also, sorry for your last name, Tom. For saying it wrong. Not for your last name. Your last name is fine. We just don't know how to say it. Nope. So.
It's got five consonants in the middle, back to back.
Right in the
middle.
Five. Yes, it does.
Five. That's a lot of consonants together.
Yeah. But we're all in the same family of difficult names, so it's all good.
Yeah.
We're good.
Sure.
So, yeah. If you want to follow along with us, please read it and download it. Go on to Audible. Go and buy it from a book store, whatever you do.
Listen, whatever your whatever floats your boat poison for reading is. Books.
Yeah.
We're going back to the audiobook because I can barely finish books as my life is fairly challenging right
audiobooks
now, guys.
Seem to be better. Easier, definitely.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to wrap it up. So thank you. Thank you for joining us and we'll see you next time. If you're interested in contacting us in between, if you have, you know, you want to share with us some stories or ask us questions or tell us what we need to be reading because we're fucking it all up and reading the wrong books, let us know. You can email us at shdirtybooks@gmail.com or you can find us on Twitter or Facebook at shdirtybooks. And all of those sh have three H's, so S-H-H-H, Dirty Books. And we look forward to hearing from you.
Yeah, and you can also find us on WordPress at shdirtybooks.wordpress.com and do a search for us on SoundCloud and iTunes, and we will be there.
Hopefully. That's where you're finding these right now.
Right, so...
Fingers fucking crossed.
Yes. Yeah, so follow us along there, and we wanted to give out a quick shout out to Mr. Jim Townsend for that wonderful, beautiful, and sexy intro and outro that he has been doing for us that you've been hearing.
Yep. Big ups to Jim. Thank you.
We'll see you next time.
Yeah, you've been listening to Reading Dirty Books with Galena and Saylet. Be sure to tune into the next episode for some more of your dirty books read to you. And if you're listening on a format that allows you to give a rating, please do that for them.